This morning's sermon is going to be taken from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 35. It reads, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." Before we get into the context, Philip's story is contained in the book of Acts. The Philip we will focus on today is not to be confused with the Apostle Philip. This Philip is one of seven men appointed by the early church whom was of good reputation, full of wisdom, and the Holy Spirit. Acts 6:3. Philip was a servant in charge of the food distribution for the poor. And in the Bible, the first person given the title evangelist. Acts 21:8. Philip obeyed the command of Jesus, taking the gospel outside of Jerusalem into regions such as Samaria, Azotus, and many cities leading up to his hometown of Caesarea. The context of this morning's sermon scripture is about a wonderful story about the conversion of an Ethiopian eunuch who was sent to Jerusalem to worship the true God by the Queen of the Ethiopians. So to get a bit better context, I'm going to begin my reading in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 38. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And he who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. 3 points arise from our sermon text. First, Philip opened his mouth. Second, start at a person's need. And third, preach Jesus. First, Philip opened his mouth. We see Philip demonstrate faith and obedience by being a doer of the word. He walked the talk. He obeyed God. Jesus' words were to go and make disciples of all the nations. So in other words, go make believers of all the nations. Not only Jerusalem, but everywhere. Philip took the command of Jesus, known as the Great Commission, to heart, as all believers should. Philip didn't limit his evangelizing only to other Jews living in Jerusalem. Philip went outside the box. He went outside his comfort zone. Philip traveled to Samaria, which was considered the last place to go evangelizing because of an age-old prejudice. Samaria was an area where the Israelites and other foreigners, such as the Mesopotamians, intermarried and created mixed races. Well, this caused some hatred among some of the Jews, because in their own eyes, Samaritans were not considered pure, and they were considered outcasts. However, this didn't stop Philip. His zeal for the gospel outweighed any reason, such as prejudice or fear, not to share the good news, which is God offering sinful people eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. This should serve as a sidebar application for all of us. We live in a city, we live in a country, unlike many others, where we are blessed with free speech. And believers are commissioned to spread the gospel outside of this box, outside of these four walls. You know, inside these four walls, it's easy to talk about God. But what about outside? We need to bring the message from God's church outside, since a lot of people are hesitant to come inside. And believers, we can't allow our assumptions about other people or places limit us in advancing the will of God. Remember, it's God's will to advance His kingdom. And He does it through empowering and equipping us, believers, through the Holy Spirit. Psalm 71, verse 15 and 16 read, "My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only." God's leading is for a reason. God knew to send Philip down the desert road to the Ethiopian eunuch. He knows where the fruit will bear, not us. He knows people's hearts, not us. Philip had great success in Samaria, the place least likely to have success in a lot of people's viewpoint. Many Samaritans responded to the gospel in a positive way. And this could happen to any one of us, anywhere, anytime, if we simply open our mouths. Proverbs 18:21 reads, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So the greatest good or evil can come from the power of the tongue. But God gave us mouths to use for a greater good. It's our responsibility as believers. Romans 15:5-6 read, "Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be of one mind and one mouth. Glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Believers, the challenge is to speak up and share the message. Matthew 9:37, Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." So believer, think, where would your faith be if it wasn't for the preacher? If it wasn't for the messenger? If it wasn't for the evangelist, if it wasn't for the person showing a Christ-like love to you, caring about your eternal well-being. Well, God is knocking on your hearts, tapping into your conscience to do the same for others before it's too late. Romans 10:17 reads, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Second application is to start at a need. When the subject of God is brought up, many people, they lack wisdom and they lack understanding. Society in general is lazy, and instead of getting the information straight from the good book, they lean on their own understanding about God. The devil loves man's ignorance, because most of the time, men rely on a false hope of salvation through themselves. I'll never forget what our brother Jim preached in one of his sermons. He said, "People that place their faith in themselves choose their own trinity. Me, myself, and I." Right there is a starting point to convince them that having that train of thought is wrong. Good luck trying to get yourself into heaven without Jesus. Good luck. God said in Jeremiah 4:22, He said, "For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are silly children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." 1 Corinthians 2:14 reads, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The spiritual blindness in this world continues to get worse and worse. And if people's ears are not getting tickled with only the good stuff on prospering on life, on what God can give you and do for you, and you see church attendance continues to drop all across this country. People don't want to hear about the bad stuff. They don't realize that God can give you so much more than any materialistic thing that this world could ever offer. And it's eternal. Jesus said in Matthew 13:15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." The purpose of evangelizing is to help people realize their need for Jesus in their lives. That He is the one and only Savior that can provide a sure hope of eternal life in heaven. Most of the time, meeting someone's need is answering questions, helping them understand the things of spiritual value, helping them see that any hope without Christ will lead them apart from God, not to God. Philip started at a need, explaining Isaiah 53:7-8 to the Ethiopian eunuch, because he didn't know who those verses were about. Just like out on the streets, many people, they don't know Jesus. They've heard of him, but they don't know Jesus. That's why it's so important to study the Word of God. Help answer questions with scripture verses. Because essentially it's best to use God's words to answer questions or to back up our words. So for example, when you hear a person talk about going to heaven on their own merit, you can point them to scripture verses that would go against that argument. For instance, Galatians 2:16 reads, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." Common one is Ephesians 2:8 and 9. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Then there are the people that think it's just too late for them because of past sins or lifestyle. Well, it's never too late. It's never too late for anyone. Just think about the dying thief hanging on the cross next to Jesus at Calvary that placed his faith in Jesus Christ hours before he died. Jesus said, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Praise God. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's what God said in Isaiah 43:25. God said, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." So, even though we are God's mouthpieces for sharing the gospel, let the power of Scripture speak. Whether you have to pull out the Bible or read Scriptures right off the gospel track, Scripture is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let it do its job. Let it pierce the heart. Let it cut right through. A sidebar application is, dust off your feet. We're not going to win every soul. It's hard enough to try to win one. But keep pressing on. Just think back to how many people it took for you to see the light. How many people did God use to share the gospel, to share the good news to you, to open up your heart? Robert Louis Stevenson said, "Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant." You are like one of many waves carrying that living water. And over time, that living water will penetrate that rock heart. It will cut right through. Maybe it's just not your time, but at least you are chipping away at it. So press on. It's our mission, it's our duty to press on. Third application is to preach Jesus Christ. As stated earlier, the mission is to go and make believers everywhere. The focus is on Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. We are to make much of Jesus and less of ourselves. The issue with a lot of pastors on TV or other churches is that Jesus isn't preached enough. How can he not? You may hear motivational stories about people or famous quotes to get people sucked in. But Jesus needs to be the center. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He needs to be preached about always and often. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 read, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and that every name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Last sidebar application is, when evangelizing, try to eliminate the distractions. For example, I would wear a lot of Yankee gear. I wore a Yankee hat, Yankee shirt, and a lot of people would use that as a means to change the subject on me. So I would roll with it, but then get back to the focus. Get back to the mission, soul winning. So now I don't wear any of that stuff. Okay? And another thing is, don't bring a dog with you either, because they just focus on the dog more than you. Preach Jesus. Jesus came down to earth from his throne up in heaven because he loves us. He doesn't want to see us perish in hell. There is no other way to attain eternal security without him. Because we are all sinners. We're all unholy. We're all unworthy. Regardless of what sin we've committed. Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." While Jesus lived on earth and endured all the temptations, he endured all the allurements this wicked world has to offer, yet was sinless. He kept his eyes on the Father's will, our salvation, the redemption of our souls. Only Jesus can save your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus became our sin bearer. He became our substitute. He paid the fine for all our sin with his death on the cross. And he willingly went to the cross for you and I. God is love, and he demonstrated it through his Son, Jesus. And on the third day, Jesus resurrected. He lives. He lives. The power of death is gone. Our sin bondage is gone because he lives. And Jesus is what separates us from any other religion. Jesus is my Savior. He's not my religion anyway. 1 Corinthians 15:17 reads, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. But praise God that we have a heavenly inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now if there is anyone in my hearing or listening to this message without Christ, now is the time to make Jesus Lord, God, and Savior of your life. You never know what's going to happen. Never. If you believe the things which were preached about this morning, pray to God the Father. Admit that you are a sinner and fallen short of God's glory. And ask God to receive Jesus into your life. And he will give you a sure hope of eternity in heaven. For the believer, preach Jesus often. Give all the glory to God. Give your testimony and how Christ changed your life. And pray. Pray that the hearer responds with an open heart to Jesus, Lord, God and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the hope that you have given us through your Son. Thank you so much for the love that you give us. Without him, we are lost. Without him, we are without any hope. Jesus is a firm foundation. Father, help us stay tethered to that foundation and not be taken away, distracted by any things of this world, but stay focused on you. Stay focused on your mission, on what you have given us to do. Father, I pray that you continue to work in our lives and help us each day to grow more Christ-like. But again, none of this is possible without your Son, the greatest Lord and God and Savior ever, the only God and Savior. Thank you, Father, for giving us that surety that when it's our time, you will welcome us with open arms into the pearly gates. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.